Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together, we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick, and apparently some people believe in talking donkeys.
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
All right, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what today is?
It's late on a Saturday.
It's Q&A Saturday.
Late. Yeah, so what are we Q&A-ing today?
Okay, so I've
chapters first?
Oh, shit. The Book of Esther, chapters 1, 2, and 3?
Yes, that is correct. Right? Yeah.
Okay. So that's what we're covering.
Right.
And we're going to talk about Queen Vashti.
Okay.
A lot and a little bit about who the fuck is King Ahasuerus.
I don't even remember the Ahasuerus.
You wouldn't because it wasn't there, but it was, but it wasn't, but I didn't say it. Yeah, I know, right? Stay tuned.
All right. Let's get into this.
Mm-hmm.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so who is King Ahasuerus and why do I give a fuck?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know how at the beginning of each little section, as we're reading, there's those little headline blurbs that like subtitle the next section or whatever?
Right,
and we decided not to read those?
Right.
Okay. So I've been sitting on this since Wednesday because the chapter started out, Queen Vashti defies King Ahasuerus. Or Ahasuerus, or however you say his name.
Got it.
I kind of like the dinosaur, right, Ahasuerus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I've been saying in my head.
Got it.
But the whole rest of the chapter referred to King Xerxes.
Right.
So I filed that away in my little brain hole and was like, I'm going to check that shit out.
Right.
And so now I'm checking that shit out.
Okay. All right. Okay? Yeah.
So, because it's actually subtitled, Queen Vashti defies King Ahasuerus.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Who's King Ahasuerus?
Right.
And why is the rest of the chapter referencing
Xerxes?
Xerxes, yeah. So the Hebrew form of Ahasuerus is believed to have derived from the old Persian name of Xerxes I.
Oh.
The Persian name was independently rendered in ancient Greek as Xerxes, and the E's have all these fun clicky doodles on top of all different, you know, blah, 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 cool stuff. Okay, the Persian name was independently rendered in ancient Greek as Xerxes, and many newer English translations and paraphrases of the Bible have used the name Xerxes.
Okay.
Such as the one that we're reading from.
Yeah.
Except for that one subtitle.
That's weird that they subtitle it the one way, but then refer the other.
Exactly.
That's really
why
weird.
I was confused.
Yeah.
There is no reference to known historical events in this story that we're reading.
Okay.
Okay. About Queen Vashti and
got it.
Esther and whatever.
Okay.
Okay. Some consider the narrative of Esther was given to provide an origin for the Jewish holiday Purim, which we will get into in these coming chapters.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So I couldn't read too much more without giving myself spoilers about what's ahead.
Right. Right.
But Purim is a very important Jewish holiday, and this story supposedly gives the origins of that holiday.
Okay.
Okay. And the name Ahasuerus is usually understood to refer to a fictionalized Xerxes I who ruled the Achaemenid Empire.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Between 486 and 465 BCE.
Got it.
Okay. Okay. So that's all I'm going to say about that guy, because like I said, the rest kind of gets into
other shit we're going to cover.
What's Purim? Well, we're not there yet.
Right, right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So just file that away in your brain hole.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
But then now let's get on to Vashti.
Vashti. Got
that's
it.
That's who I'm really interested in right after who was King Ahasuerus.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Vashti, as the first wife of Persian King Ahasuerus in the book Esther, was a queen of Persia. She was either executed or banished for her refusal to appear at the king's banquet to show her beauty as Ahasuerus wished.
So we were right. Something bad did happen to
her.
But
we don't know if she was banished or killed.
Right, right. But something bad.
Something bad.
Either way.
Yeah. She was get gone.
Right.
Yeah. So that refusal, her refusal to come forward at his beck and call, might be better understood via the Jewish tradition that she was ordered to appear naked. Except for that crown. Like, remember, she was told to appear.
They aren't Jewish, though. Xerxes is not Jewish. Remember, they don't even like Jewish people.
Right, but the Jewish tradition is that she was ordered to appear naked.
Okay.
Not the Jewish tradition of the story, the way the Jews tell the story is that she was ordered to appear naked.
Got it, got it.
Not that they were Jewish.
Got it, okay. So, in lore, she was supposed to appear naked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except for the crown on her head.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, in the Midrash, which is one of the
supplemental
books written by rabbis that kind of give us a what's what.
Right.
Vashti is described as wicked and vain. Okay.
Okay.
Now, we'll get into that more in a minute. Okay. So, I've got a little asterisk note more later.
Sure.
Okay. So, file that away again in your brain hole.
Right.
However, she is viewed as an independent-minded heroine, in feminist theological interpretations of the story.
Got it.
And then I've got a double asterisk, more on that in a minute, too.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, I'm already loving this, because I'm like, oh, shit. Who's Vashti? And I'm going to need a t-shirt that says Justice for Vashti.
I need somebody to track all the fucking t-shirts you need. Jesus.
But this one I really need because, you know, feminism. Right. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Because the text lacks any references to known events, some historians believe that the narrative of Esther is fictional, and the name Ahasuerus is used to refer to a fictionalized Xerxes I.
Got it.
Some historians additionally argue that because the Persian kings did not marry outside a handful of Persian noble families, it is very unlikely that there was ever a Jewish Queen Esther.
Right.
And that in any case, the historical Xerxes' queen was Amestris.
Okay. Yep.
So this is very likely
made not true of, in any way whatsoever.
Right. Again, it's just a story to talk about why the holiday of Purim was
created
or whatever.
An entire holiday has an origin of complete fiction.
Yes.
Okay.
Sound that tracks.
Got it. Yeah.
Totally.
Okay.
So according to the Midrash, Vashti was the great-granddaughter of King Nebuchadnezzar II of Babylon.
Yeah.
The granddaughter of King Melmarduk, and the daughter of King Belshazzar.
Okay.
That King Belshazzar. You know, okay. How bizarre.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That guy.
Right.
Okay. During Vashti's father's rule, mobs of Medes and Persians attacked.
Okay.
They murdered Belshazzar that night. Vashti, unknowing of her father's death, ran to her father's quarters. There she was kidnapped by King Darius of Persia. But Darius took pity on her. How dare he? Yeah. He took pity on her after he kidnapped her and gave her to his son Ahasuerus to marry.
Ah. Okay. Yeah. As you know, you just give women away.
Yeah. When you feel sorry for them, so, you're like, oh, here, go.
Instead of a Tonka truck, you know, you, right, you give women.
Here, you can have a Barbie and a truck, like a Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
Or a new bride.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So remember I told you I had two. I'll get there in a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the first one.
I got to interject real quick, though.
Mm-hmm.
Vashti.
Yes.
These people killed her dad and her entire family, probably, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And they give her to their son to marry.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be very happy with that scenario if I was a person in the same scenario.
In Vashti's shoes.
Yeah. Like, that's a shit-ass scenario.
Yeah.
So, just saying.
Yeah.
Okay. That was it. That was it.
I mean, death would have been the alternative. So
sure.
Death, or you can live with my son.
Because it's still I'm sorry a shit situation.
Oh yeah, totally. Definitely agree. Okay. So the first asterisk that I wrote was that, you know, in some stories she's viewed as a piece of shit asshole, right?
Right.
Okay. We're going to talk about that one.
Okay.
Based on Vashti's descent from a king who was responsible for the destruction of the temple, as well as on her unhappy fate, the Midrash presents Vashti as wicked and vain. Okay?
Remember? Okay.
I told you about that?
She wouldn't have been the one making the decision, though, about destroying the temple. That was her dad or grandfather or whatever the fuck he
was. Right, but she, what they're saying is she comes from
that line.
Bad people.
Okay.
And her dad was bad. She's bad. And, you know, she didn't come when the king called. So fuck that bitch.
I really don't think that women had a lot of opportunity to be bad in this era.
They did not. They did not.
They just were. And they got pushed around and you know, they had to do what they were told, basically. Or they get banished / executed.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm glad to hear you say that, but we will talk about her as
sure. No, I'm just saying, like, I don't like people saying she's bad. I'm like, she didn't fucking do anything. She got her parents killed. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Well, she didn't get her parents killed.
Well, no, yeah.
Her parents
I'm sorry.
I
said that badly.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah. But no, I get what you're saying. Now, since Vashti is ordered to appear before the king on the seventh day of the feast, the rabbis argued that Vashti enslaved Jewish women and forced them to work on the Sabbath.
Okay, but again, they're not Jewish. These people are not Jewish. And if they're in a, like, it wouldn't have exactly been her decision. There might have been slaves. I'm sure there were slaves, in fact. But, like, do you have sympathy for their, like, when you have slaves? Okay, I'm not trying to defend Vashti, right? But she's told to hold a banquet for the women of the area.
She wasn't told to hold one.
Okay, she did hold one
the same day that he held his.
But she needs help getting it ready, and there are slaves. You don't take into question whether or not they need the day off or not. You're like, no, you're slaves. And I'm not agreeing with the scenario. Just be clear here.
Yeah.
But this would have happened with anybody in that era. They would have been like, no, you work for me. I don't give a fuck about your fucking traditions.
Right. Nobody's talking about the slaves that would have served the king's banquet.
Right, right.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to defend slavery in any way whatsoever. It's a horrible thing.
Obviously.
But also, the women of that era are a lesser type. You know, they are not treated as
correctly.
Equals.
They were not treated correctly.
Yeah. Right. And they are pulling from the same pool of slaves that the king would have been using.
Yes.
So I don't know that that was specifically something that she would have said, I'm going to make these people work on their holiday or their day or their Sabbath. You know, like it's just part of what happened back then.
Exactly.
And again, not defending slavery at all.
So I hear you and I agree with you, but let me continue.
Sure. Okay? Sorry. I'm getting a little heated here about stuff.
I hear you. Yeah. I really appreciate it, husband. Yeah. I love you. So they attribute her unwillingness to appear before the king and his drinking partners not to modesty, but rather to an affliction with a disfiguring illness.
Okay.
So she didn't want to appear to them naked or otherwise, they say, because she had some kind of disfiguring illness.
Got it. Okay.
Which, you know, that just goes along with. And, of course, as a bad guy, only bad guys get disfiguring illnesses.
Sure, yeah. That's how that goes.
One account relates that she suffered from leprosy, while another states that the angel Gabriel came and, quote, fixed a tail on her.
Oh, man.
Right?
She had a fucking tail?
What the fuck, right?
Man.
Now, the latter possibility, the tail, is often interpreted as a euphemism for a miraculous transformation to male anatomy.
What?
That the tail was actually a penis.
I'm okay.
So
that's, so an angel came down and did
poof, you're a man.
Hmm.
Right? Like, I don't know what to say about that. Like, is this our first representation of trans?
Right?
In
like, that's an interesting little, like, that could be maybe a whole fucking episode in and of itself.
Yes, it could.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I will be looking more into that, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But the little section I was looking at didn't have a lot else to say on that. So
okay.
Moving on.
Yeah.
According to the Midrashic account, Vashti was a clever politician, and the ladies' banquet that she held in parallel to her husband's banquet represented an astute political maneuver.
Okay.
Since the noble women of the kingdom would be present at her banquet, she would have control of a valuable group of hostages in case a coup d'etat occurred during the king's feast.
Oh. So she was actually doing the king a favor, maybe-ish?
No.
Like by having control of the powerful people's wives?
Well, maybe. But also it was protection for her so that she could not be knocked from her throne right in front of anybody when she decided, no, I'm not going to come to you.
Got it.
She's like, and I have all these other people hostage here.
Well, that didn't work out very well.
No, it didn't. Okay, but that's enough about that. Remember I said I had a second asterisk?
Yes.
And this was about her being viewed as a feminist icon.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Vashti's refusal to obey the summons of her drunken husband has been admired as heroic in many feminist interpretations of the Book of Esther.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I took it. Like, she stood up to this guy who's drunk an asshole, right? So, whatever.
Early feminists admired Vashti's principle and courage, as well they should.
Right.
Harriet Beecher Stowe called Vashti's disobedience the first stand for women's rights.
Wow.
Right?
That's amazing.
Yeah. And, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and I had to look her up because I had never heard of her.
Yeah.
She's an American writer and activist who was a leader of the women's rights movement in the U.S. during the mid to late 19th century.
Okay.
So 1800s.
Yeah.
Anyway, this chick, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, wrote that Vashti, quote, added new glory to her day and generation by her disobedience. For resistance to tyrants is obedience to God.
Hmm.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so then there's Vashti in pop culture. And there was like a whole string of things. Like the name Vashti is given to many characters.
It's a cool name.
Yeah, it's a cool name. And then knowing what it represents makes it
right,
even cooler.
Right,
right. Right? There were only two that I thought were worth, or I'm sorry, there was only one that I thought was really worth repeating here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vashti makes a brief appearance in the VeggieTales episode, Esther, the girl who became queen. You know VeggieTales, right?
Yeah, that's a religious cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. In the episode, she is abruptly thrown out of the palace after she refuses to make the king a sandwich in the middle of the night.
Okay.
I just thought that was worth mentioning.
Yeah. What a PC way of putting the whole thing.
Yes, yes.
Jesus.
Yeah. Way to go, VeggieTales. You done did good there.
I guess.
Right. So that is my little two cents on both King Ahasuerus Rex and his wife Vashti.
All right. Well, that was our Q&A for Esther 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow we're going to be back with
our sacrilegious book club.
And then on Monday we'll be back with
Esther chapter 4.
All right, guys. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.